Amen. God is good. And all the time. And that's nature. Wow. Just look at your neighbor. Those ones who have neighbors around. Just look at them and smile. Ask them if they are happy to be in the house of the Lord. I'm glad also to be here today, to be used of the Lord, to just bring you the word of God today. And I don't take it for granted. And also, this service is very special. So I pray for it and everyone who come. And I'm glad that you came to just listen to the word of God. Amen. The Bible says, where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst. Just imagine the presence of the Lord. We are more than three, isn't it? So the Lord is indeed here. Thank you, worship team. Let's appreciate our wonderful worship team. Always nice to see you. Vayo, tumetoka mbali, sindio? We've come a long journey with some of them. So always glad to see us serving the Lord. Amen. So, and the rest also. God continue to bless you and shine for Jesus. Amen. Amen. There's nothing worthy on earth than to serve the Lord. Amen. So I'm going to read a scripture. So please you may stand with me as we read God's word today. Thank you, my brother. Also, let's appreciate my brother for leading us in the prayer so wonderfully. Thank you so much for reminding us of prayer. Prayer is talking to God in the children ministry. You know, when you say prayer, they understand what they remember. If maybe you normally pray and run around, that's what they think. But we tell them that prayer is talking to God. Yeah? Just talking to God, just the way we are talking together. Just imagine talking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this scripture today, just to encourage us in the Lord to continue praying. There is power in prayer. Amen. And that's the glory of the Lord. The Lord wants to shine through us. The book of John, chapter 11. Now a man named Lazarus was ill. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay ill, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is ill. When he heard this, Jesus said, this illness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Mary, loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was 2 more days, and then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. If we jump to verse 38, Jesus once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time, there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I say this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with stripes of linen and a cloth round his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Let's pray. Thank you, dear Lord Jesus, for this wonderful message to just remind us who you are, King of Kings, the King of Glory. Thank you for all who have come, Almighty Father, ready to hear of your word, dear Lord. I'm just your servant, Almighty Father. May you use me, Father, to communicate this, your word, but minister to your people, dear Spirit of God. For it's in Jesus' mighty name I pray and believe. And God's people said, amen. We may have our seat. December, open door, reign, uplifted kingdom, glory. Uplifted kingdom, glory. Uplifted kingdom, glory. When you hear the word glory, what comes into your mind? Let's remember when we were children, what you thought about glory. Yeah? Glory, a bright light, shining, blinding you. Glory of God. You picture God shining. Yeah? Is that the glory of God? Indeed it is. Glory of God. But again, we are talking about prayer. You pray, oh Lord, I want to see you. Do you open your eyes? You find out if God will answer, come with glory. Because he's shining bright on you beside your bed. Most of the time he never does. Does he? The time that he did, there's someone called Paul. Paul was running to persecute Christians. And then Jesus had to come and shine until he became blind. So sometimes I don't want to see God. But if God wants to come, just imagine, Paul was not seeking God. Paul was going to persecute Christians. But Jesus appeared and shone on him. I used to ask myself, Jesus, why do you not come and, you know, shine on me? I see your glory, you know. But now I know better, and I know you know better what it means. And this word also is going to show us more. But let's go back until when the earth started. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And creation continues. Let's jump to verse 26. Creation did that. Of course, there was light, and then God made the animals. He made the sun and the moon. Verse 26, then God said, let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Just imagine, in the beginning, we find God creating things out of nothing. He did not create things from things which were already existing. Yeah? Humans, we normally create things through things which are created, isn't it? These chairs were created from the wood, the trees of God. The cars were created from the metals and all those minerals of God and all those things. But God, he started creating. But then now, see, when he came to man, male and female, he created them. He created them in his own image. Everything else, he created them out of nothing. They were not existing, so let there be light. Let there be birds. And the trees and the vegetation and all those, they came into being. But man, he looked at himself and said, let me create man in our own image. We say, God is glorious. Man was created in the image of God. Are you glorious? Just hold that thought. Yeah. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase. Before that, he had given them dominion. He created everything, and then there was no one to tend them, to take care of his creation. Then he created man to take care of the creation. Just imagine that awesome opportunity. So it goes ahead there. Let's jump to chapter 2, verse 15. Chapter 2, verse 15. The Bible says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Just imagine. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but don't eat from this one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. Just imagine the man was alone, taking care of the things of God. The Bible also in Genesis says that he named them. He saw a lion and then say, lion. I don't know which language he was using. Yeah? Which language was it? Was it Kisi? Was it Luo? Yeah? Sher. Lion. Simba. What language was he using? But anyway, he created them, isn't it? When we were born, we found the lion being called lion. So, what is this? Lion. Who told you it's lion? But we trusted that it's lion, isn't it? Because man made, man gave a name. We also have the authority to call our children names. We are names that our parents called us, isn't it? Did you call your parent and tell them, I want my name to be John? Nowadays, our children are smart. They Google wonderful names and then they come and tell you that, can I be called this? Tell them, no, you are not called that way. You will be called what I named you. Authority, dominion, you know? So the Lord caused the man to fall asleep. It is not good for man to be alone. Man was alone. Just imagine, one man, one, like me here, and then the rest are animals. I'm not calling you animals, but just imagine Adam was the only man, and then the rest were animals and trees. So lonely. But guess what? He was not lonely. He had not known what lonely means. He had never seen any other man but himself. And then the animals. But God said it's not good for, and then he created someone else for him. But that's not our story today. I'm just bringing that story of creation. If we jump to chapter 3. Chapter 3. Verse 1. Let's jump to chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. Was it the serpent which was crafty? Was it the serpent which was crafty? That's homework. Yeah. Just find out if that is the snake which was crafty that the Bible is saying. Yeah. Was more crafty than any of the wild animals. Satan is very clever. And then he knew that the serpent God created is more crafty than any other wild animals. Remember, sin was not there at that time. So that crafty does not mean sin. Crafty children, the way you know, you normally call crafty children. You know, they are doing things that they're not supposed to do. Funny, funny stuff. But that's not what he's talking about there. Because sin had not come. But the enemy, just imagine the enemy now, instead of him using his own, remember the enemy wants to be God. Now think like a child. Why did he have to come and use the things that God made? See, he wants to be God. He goes somewhere and then creates his own earth and creates his own people and creates his own animals, creates his own trees and everything. Why does he come? I want to be God. Just imagine your child saying that, I'm the head of this house. Tumwangalie huyo mtoto and go and call a doctor or start counseling. Just imagine Satan, crafty, But he comes and uses the snake that God made. And then he comes to Adam. Did God really say you must not eat from any tree of the garden? Did God really say? Yeah, we are afraid what God said. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God said, you must not eat fruit from this tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it. She even added something, or you will die. And that's what God said. Of course, he did not say touch. She added. Yeah, most of the time we add some salt or sugar to the story, isn't it, to make it fun. Satan came to destroy the things of God. God made everything glorious. The Bible says that everything that God made, he said that it is good. Just imagine something that God says it is good. Why did he not say that much better? That is best. Because there is no best, and that is what we came with. This much better, this is best. But good is good. Just the same as truth is truth. There is no more truth. There is no less truth. Truth is truth. You cannot weigh it. So good. Everything was good. But the enemy came to destroy. But you know what? The loving God had a plan. But we will not all go. I wanted to bring that kingdom glory. God's intention was to create a kingdom that is glorious. Yeah, and I've titled my message, Uplifted Kingdom Glory. And we are going to see a glorious sign. We are going to see a glorious power, and there is glorious life. There is a glorious sign and glorious power for us to live a glorious life through those scriptures. Let's start from the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. The Bible says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. That's interesting, but the word of God is the one that's saying, are you one of them? You should have nothing to do with you. Yeah? But that's our nature. That's a sinful nature that Satan came from that time until now. And these are the last days. Ages have passed. Things have become worse and worse until now, in the time Timothy is writing these words. Then, final charge to Timothy. This is Paul charging Timothy. Timothy was like his son. Verse 16. Jump to verse 16. The Bible says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God, other version says, so that the man of God, does not mean man gender, but a child of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Things are bad. We are in the last days. Things will not be better. You know, sometimes we as believers, we are surprised by other things. And then God says in his word that you can pray amiss. Yeah? You can pray amiss. Because the Bible says that these are the last days and we haven't seen evil yet. But we are not supposed to be discouraged because God is with us, the King of glory. And just imagine darkness. you will see the glory of the light when it's pitch dark, isn't it? When you're preparing your birthday, or your celebrations, you normally put things during the day, but the best part you put in the night so that you can put the shining lights and so on. And then when darkness comes, that's when you see the glory of your decoration. Isn't it? A small candle will be useful. If I light here a candle right away now, because of these bright lights and so on, you won't see its glory. But when you switch off the lights, then you can see the glory of the candle. It's the last days and things are becoming dark. Dark how? No God. No one wants to anything to do with God. Things will become dark. But guess what? The Lord is still on his throne. And when you stick with him, you'll be glorious. You will shine. See, that's why he says that you are the light of the world. Because the world is dark. It needs to see the glory of God. But God is not coming to build another sun. He created a sun, and then that sun is ruling the day, and then the moon in the night. But now he wants to use you to become his image. And what is his image? Glorious. Glorious. But how glorious is that? We have read that we have the word of God. Verse 16 and 17. We have the word of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof. My first point, glorious sign. What is this glorious sign? Verse 38 from our verse now, the book of John, chapter 11. This story that Jesus is almost doing here from this part is the seventh final miraculous sign. There are seven signs that Jesus did just to help us or to help the people of that time to understand who he is. He did those miracles so that he can pass on some message that, you know what, I'm the Son of God. I'm not just a mere man. Men could not do those things. Remember, the enemy comes to use the things of God and make photocopies. When you want to make a photocopy, we are preparing children to go for a camp. And then we are making copies of the birth certificate. And then the parent remains with the original. Now, if the copy of the birth certificate gets lost, will you mind? We'll just call the parent. Ha! It's lost. Please send another copy. Yeah? But the enemy comes to copy the things of God, to mimic God. But we are supposed to be aware and know your God, know the works of God, know how God works. And this is what now Jesus was doing, so that he can show that, yes, I'm 100% man, but I've come for a purpose. John chapter 11, verse 38 and 39, the Bible says, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. Take away the stone, he said. Now that story starts from somewhere, and then we found from verse 1, we find this man called Lazarus who was ill. And then it was a village, and there was Mary and her sister Martha. And the Bible says that he loved them. Verse 3, so the sisters say to the Lord, Lord, the one you love is ill. Another important thing to note there, that this Jesus needed friendship. As a man, he had friends. And now, Mary, these sisters, they are telling him, one of your friends is ill. And then verse 4, he says, this illness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. God's Son may be glorified through it. But when we are going on with that story, we find Lazarus dies, and then after he dies, now Jesus again, he delayed going. Just imagine, why would Jesus delay? going. But he had said it, this death, this illness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. God's Son may be glorified through it. A sign there that Jesus is here to glorify the Lord, God the Father, who sent him. If we go to Matthew chapter 27, verse 60, let's go to Matthew chapter 27, verse 60. Matthew 27, verse 60. And laid, let's start from verse 59. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it on his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. Now here is the death of Jesus. Jesus had already died on the cross, and then someone called Matthew comes and takes his body and puts it in the cave or in the tomb. Sometimes, you know, things are hidden in the tomb. Jesus as a man, yes, he was crucified, he died, and then now he's put in the tomb. And then someone comes, takes his body and puts it in the tomb and closes the door. Things may seem that it's gone. This Jesus, can you put yourself in the shoe of the disciples? What were they thinking? Our Jesus is no more. Many of the situations, sometimes you do some things and then you say that he image. I cannot do this anymore. Maybe it's your child. You reach a point and you say that there is no hope. Maybe it's a sickness. You reach a point and the doctor says that you have 2 days to live. Now here, Jesus had died, of course. And then here now, Jesus, these pictures of Jesus and Lazarus, it brings a certain picture of him at the tomb and trying to give us a sign who he really is. And then Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. The Bible says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. It mentions sins. Just like a body in the tomb. But hold that thought. In a minute, we are going to reach there. But a sign. Now, here Jesus is telling is deeply moved first. He comes to the tomb and then he says in verse 39, take away the stone. Take away the stone. That the book of Galatians, it's bringing that filthiness of sin that the devil began in the Garden of Eden when he lied to, or he tempted the people of God, and they heeded to that, whatever he said. They doubted God. They doubted the word of God. And then because the word of God is the word of God, well, they did not die physically, but they were chased away from the garden. Just imagine. God created a garden. He put man, his precious image, in it. And then he is chasing them away. But God is love. That's the state of man. God is love. Long story short, we know what happened. Yeah? He killed a first animal that he created. The things that he said that it is good, he killed that lamb without blemish to clothe Adam and Eve. He started. He had a plan from the beginning. Just imagine in the mind of God, you are creating something knowing that you will kill something He did not kill his image. He killed a creation. He killed a creation. He was to kill man. He was to say, if I was to be God, my brother, go away. Even no, not go away. Vanish him. See, God had the power. If he had the power to say, let there be light, and then there was light, he had the power to say that, Adam, vanish. Then he creates another one. But he remembered that this is his image. He cannot kill himself. Nowadays, people kill their children, or the children kill their parents. You don't need to be surprised about that. The love of God is gone. Darkness. And that's the intention of the devil in the Garden of Eden. But we don't need to do that. We need to come up, uplifted, and have that glory. We have the glorious sign there. Jesus is there. He says, take away the stone. Another thing, he was to just tell the stone, roll away. Why is he telling them, take away the stone? He had the power to do it, isn't it? Or to just send something from heaven and crush that stone. Take away the stone. There's something God wants you to do about this situation. He reminds you that, you know, I created you for a purpose. He reminds you that, you know what, I created you in my own image. But there is an enemy who wants to destroy you. But there is scripture. God breathed. And now we are reading it. We are saying that, you know, Jesus is doing this. Take away the stone. He told, but Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Kwani, Jesus did not know that. But that was a tone of love, yeah? You know, he reminded, Jesus comes to hear you. You will have questions. But it's good they are talking to Jesus. They are talking to him. Prayer. You know, they are talking to him. Lord, it has been 4 days. Jesus did not tell her, I know. If you are to be Jesus, you are to do that, isn't it? But there is a reason he's saying that, take away the stone. He wants you to act that faith. Do you have that faith? The second point, glorious power. Glorious power. In verse 40, then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see? Believe, then you see. Believe. What is faith? It was a question. What is faith? In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 1. Now faith is the confidence of what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. That is faith. And then it goes along there by faith. Faith. He tells them, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see? Somehow he is reminding him from verse 21. Lord, if you are to be here, my brother was to be better. And then he tells them, your brother will rise again. Still, awakuskia. Verse 24, Martha answered, oh yes, I know. I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. They have the doctrine. They have the word. Yes, I know that he's raised again, but in the last day. But here Jesus is telling him, your brother will rise again. Then he goes ahead and tells her that I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said, "Yes, Lord," she replied, "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come to the world." And then in verse 32, another one. Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him. She fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Remember what Jesus had told them. This not to death. Remember what Jesus had told Mary. Your brother will rise again. And here he said, "Take away the stone." The same mother is saying, he's been there 4 days. She forgot to say that, "If Lord, you have been here, my brother was not to have died." But here is the Lord saying, "Take away the stone." And then she's reminding Jesus, how many times do we know the right thing? But faith too, akuna. Faith. How many times do you pray, "Oh Lord, thank you so much. I've experienced your presence." And then when you go away, December is almost finished. Now school fees. Where will I get the school fees? Who are you talking to? Were you talking to a God who knows that you need fees? Many of the times we are in this point of Mary and Martha. We know the truth. But the faith, we lack the faith. Yeah. We like to trust. And faith is just believing in God, believing that God knows what is going on, believing that Lazarus has been there 4 days, believing that you have lost a job. You know, sometimes God may allow, God's time is God's time. Isn't it? And we all know, you know that God's time is God's time. But you have stayed without a job and you are in a country where there are no jobs. But do you believe that the God who created is able to create a job through you? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God can create a job through you? It's like a challenge I'm throwing to you. Does God know that we are in Kenya? Glorious power. We have the glorious power, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes in you and you shall be witnesses. Witnesses. So are you, am I a witness? That's what I ask myself all the time. Am I a witness? When a text comes discouraging that, "Oh, this is going on," do I forward it? I never forward those texts. But I write on my status the glory of God, what the Bible says, to help me not listen to the enemy. That's what the enemy does. He comes with discouragements and so on. You would start hating your president. You hate everyone around and so on. But as a child of God, it's not my business to hate those people. Actually, my God says that, pray for those in authority. That's what my God says. And that's what I do. Faith. Most of the time we are there, like with Mary and Martha. Yeah, we know who Jesus is. We know the truth. We know that his time is perfect. But we lack the faith. But we have the glorious power with us. The power that raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus also died and he rose again. Somehow he was trying to show them that when he was telling, "I'm not here forever. Yeah, I'm going to die." So instead of them crying that, "Lord, we thought that you are coming to be a Messiah," and so on, but they were to understand who Jesus is and what he came to do. The disciples, they went back to their businesses. What was their business? Fishing. They went back when Jesus died, such that when Jesus rose again, and I'm going to read about that, but if you read, it's the season of Christmas. Just go back about the story of Jesus. When he rose again, first of all, those ladies who went to the grave to find him, and then they found an angel who had rolled away the stone, told them, "Are you looking for the living among the dead?" And now our last point, glorious life. We have a glorious sign. We have the Lord Jesus with us. The one who God the Father sent to take care of our sin. And he does not ask us to do anything. Christian life is a life that we are not supposed to do anything. Well, I don't need to come to church, but I come to church because I love God, because I want to listen from God. I don't need to work with the children, but I work with the children because I'm called of God to go and serve them, and so on and so forth. So they are not works so that I can earn my salvation. I earn my salvation way before I did not know even how to serve God. But when God saves you now, you don't need to be guilty about your sin. But the guiltiness helps us to know that there is someone who came to take care of that. We have a sign, the Lord Jesus was there. And we have his power. The power to say that, you know what? Take away the stone. And then the last point from verse 43, glorious life. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with stripes of linen and a cloth round his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. That's what Jesus needs us to come out of our graves. Without Jesus, we are dead. That's the picture the Lord Jesus is bringing here. Without Jesus, we are dead, just like a dead man in the grave. And our death stinks. And we have learned about that in the book of Galatians. It's not a good thing. It's not something to be proud of. Yeah, I cannot stand here and start being proud at, you know what, I seen this and this and this, I tell a lie and so on. No, it's not something good to be proud of. Just the same thing as the stench from the grave. But you know what? There is Jesus who is telling you, take away the stone. Now that one you will have to do it. That's why he did not crush that rock from the mouth of the grave. And that's why the Bible tells us that, you know what? We work our salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling meaning reverence. Not the fear like the way we fear bad things. But we reverent God. We work out our salvation. That working out of salvation is not to work out to earn salvation, because we already have the salvation. But believing in God, it's a process. Everything has a process. Last time we learned that everything grows from small. Our children grow. They don't remain children, isn't it? But there's something they do. They eat. You feed them. You clothe them. You shelter them. Even if you don't have a car, will your children grow? They will still grow. Whether you have a car or not, they will still grow whether you live in a tent. In the time of King Abraham, see, they were living in tents, but God was using miraculous, was doing marvelous things. So it's not about the things, but there are those necessities. Food, shelter. What's our food? Our food is the word of God. What's our shelter? Our shelter is to remain under the covering of God. What does that mean? Just believing in him. When you believe, when you have that faith, you have shelter. There's nothing the enemy can do about it. You are more than conqueror in Christ Jesus. Glorious life. Come out from the grave. What's the difference between a gift and a fruit? In the Bible, we have gifts of the Holy Spirit. We also have fruits of the Holy Spirit. What's the difference? Many people have gifts, but fruit. Well, gift is given, whether you deserve it or not, isn't it? A gift is given. But a fruit, according to the word of God in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, what does the Bible say? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Those are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So what's the difference between the gift? The gift we are given, even if you don't decide. Fruit grows. You have to wait for the mango season to come, and then you eat wonderful mangoes, isn't it? Whether you like it or not. Nowadays we have GMO, but they are not as sweet as those ones which grow in season. Any fruit, just name any fruit. They have seasons. There is a process. There is a patience the farmer need to have until the same thing to us. There is toiling. Before a child does their Form 4 exam, there is class 1 all the way. They need to be patient for them to graduate. Now that's patience. That's the working of our salvation. Working of our salvation. If the things of the world are showing us how to have patience. In my work, normally I work with computers. So sometimes a computer is there, you know, you have put it on and then there are some things around there and I'm waiting. Maybe I need to print something. But you need to wait. And you are patient. Some things you have to be patient. If it's food, you want it to get warm, you put there, yeah, 5 minutes or 2 minutes. You stay, you wait for those 2 minutes for the food to be warm. Patience. But there are some important things that we need on earth and they come from God, but we lack patience. Today, that's the glorious life that God wants us to. Let me finish with this story. In India, you are going to serve in the village. And then when you went there, you know, we are fired up. We know Jesus and these people don't know Jesus. So we are going to the village to preach the gospel. Immediately we come out from the bus. Then you start to call, hey, black monkey, Habshi, black man, all those kind of names. Then we are mad. What is it? What's wrong with these people? We have brought the good news, but they are abusing us. We went back to our missionary and told him, we are not going back to the village. Why? Those people, they are abusing us. They are calling us monkeys. Instead of our missionary doing something about it, he started asking us some questions. Okay, who created you? God. Who sent you to the village? God. Then he said that, good, I thought that you will say that it's me who sent you. Who created them? God. Which God? My God. Okay, who created you? God. So, did God know that those people will call you that? God knows everything. Yes, he knew. Why did he allow it? Just imagine those questions. And we have come with our grievances. Those people, they are abusing us. And then but he taught me something. Oh, the last thing that he said. If you are angry and then you slap that person or you do something and then they die, where are they going? Hell. Why? Because they don't know God. So, if they come in a mob and then they kill you, where will you go? Heaven, of course. Because I know Jesus. So, who is at loss? Them. So, are you going back to the village with the new good news? Yes. But this one is interesting. Now, the next time that we went, and then they used to send children. Children are the ones who used to call us that. The big people, they send the children to call us that. So we had a strategy with one of my Kenyan friends. We say that when you hear a child calling you, we run after this child, and of course the child will run to his or her home, and then we'll go there and start talking to the parents. Not counseling them, but just talking to them. In their language. At that time, by the way, we know Hindi. So you can imagine what we did. They came and then, black monkey. Oh, we spotted one. We ran after this child, and of course that child went back to their home, and then everyone is afraid. Oh, this foreigner has come to our home, so what will happen? They know it's a police case, of course, automatically. But we sat down, you know, we asked for water to take, and we asked for, we sometimes used to find those sweet, sweet things that they have. We asked them in Hindi. We are not talking about your child abusers. No. We just had fun. Many parents, or many children, came to Christ because of those instances. Let's appreciate the Lord for that. Yes. Why did I share that story? You can imagine, if we were to be angry because they are calling us names, were those children to come to know Christ? We were to quit. But when we understood who created us, we don't need to worry about what they are calling us, but they need Jesus. By the time you are talking their language, they are wondering, how did you know Hindi? And they are laughing at you. And then you start a conversation. Yeah, the conversation like Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Yeah, that conversation, until we invite them to church, and then they come to church, and some of the parents, of course, they come. That love, only that love. You are not talking about the sin, but the love brought many children to the Lord. And that's where my passion for children started. And it was an eye-opener. Oh, so children, Hindu children can come to Christ through irregular means. So right away now, it does not matter. Person call me what name. I know better. And God knew today, isn't it? That's the fruit, those fruits. Goodness. Will you be a good to a person who is doing wrong things to you? It's a chance to show the glory of God, that glorious life. Can you love someone back who does not show you love back? Glorious life. Even if a person call you names, first of all, know who you are first. Then you don't need to worry about what they are saying about you, because it's not them, because we don't fight with flesh and blood, but with principalities. The same devil who was in the Garden of Eden, who used a snake that God created. He's the one who will use your friend. He will use your child. So when your child does some things which are wrong, you don't need to kill the child. You don't need to, do you chase the child away from your house? That's why God is not chasing them away from earth, his earth. But you know what? He died on the cross. He paid the price. He already had that plan sorted. So you don't need to worry about anything. Yeah? We have kingdom, uplifted kingdom glory. We have the sign. We have the power to live a glorious life. You have the glorious sign. You have seen the resurrection of Christ. Have you seen the resurrection of Christ in your life? We have many opportunities to do that. So when something wrong happens, it's time for you to go back to the Lord and ask him, Lord, this is happening. There's nothing wrong with asking. Kina Mary asked him some questions, even if they were wrong. But Jesus did not, just they were friends of Mary and Martha. And that's why, lastly, the Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah chapter 60 from verse 1, arise, shine in the darkness. Yes, we are in the last days, but arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. It's a present tense. Yes, everything is dark, but God wants to glorify himself through you. Do you trust him to do that? Do you trust him with your life? If you trust him with your life, let's arise on our feet so that we can thank him for that. If you have not invited Jesus to be a personal savior, I cannot sit without inviting you. It starts there. Come to Jesus. He will sort out things. Come to Jesus. He will sort out things. But if you have Jesus as your personal Savior, arise, shine in the darkness. Just trust Him with all that He does. Let's remove whatever is covering our graves. Let's be open with God. God knows it. Yeah, He knows it, but He says that, come to me and I will give you rest. Let's pray. Just pray. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. Tell Him about yourself and ask Him to give you the strength to move on with Him in your midst. Thank you, Almighty Father, for you love us so much, even though you know that we have sinful in nature, Almighty Father. But you sent your only Son, and you tell us that if we ask for forgiveness, as far as is the east is from the west, so far have you taken our transgressions from us. Help us to trust you with the work that you did for us. Just the way, dear Heavenly Father, you did for Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. You clothed them, even though you chased them away from the garden. But your presence was always with them. And we know of the wonderful works that followed. Yes, the earth was destroyed. We have to toil. But Lord, when you are with us, we don't toil. We serve you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. May you help us to serve you always. Help us to trust you with our lives. Help us, dear Lord Jesus, because we have the power, for you have given us the power, God, the Holy Spirit. Help us to live our lives to be glorious, just like you, dear Lord Jesus. Thank you for all these who are here, dear Lord. I pray a special blessing upon them. Their head, their no tail. There is no weapon that's fashioned against them shall prosper in Jesus' mighty name. They are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And that's the position that you have raised us up. May we run confidently with this, knowing that you are good always. For it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. And God's people said, amen. God is good. And all the time, there is tea. Hallelujah. So please have a cup of tea before you leave. And then my benediction to you, just the word of God. God telling you in the book of Numbers chapter 24. Numbers chapter 6 verse 24. Please, media, if you can put that for us. This is yours in Jesus' mighty name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Peace in the midst of the darkness of the last days. Amen. But you are going to be a light in the world in Jesus' mighty name. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of our lives, and you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. Amen. And may the grace for our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Shalom and blessings to you.